Want to find out who's knocking at the door and why? Keep watching this episode all the way to the end to find out who's knocking at the door and why.
Scripture is not discerned by opinion. You cannot rightly apply the Bible until you first rightly divide the Bible. We do not get to decide what the Bible means. We get to discover what the Bible means.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. Thank you for joining me on this episode. This is another in the series of This Doesn't Mean That, Bible verses that are often taken out of context. The verse that we're going to be looking at today is Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And regardless of the good intentions that are meant, this verse is not really dealing with evangelism the way that it is so often applied. Let's take a look at what the text tells us, what the context tells us about this verse. So this painting is one of the most famous paintings, I believe, in Christianity. It's Jesus standing at the door. And how often even I've seen this painting or one very much like it that actually has the verse inscribed or written or painted into that picture as well, that painting as well. The verse is Revelation 3:20. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, this verse is often used in an evangelistic setting. An altar call, an evangelistic outreach, some sort of a evangelistic conference that's going on. I'm all for evangelism, but the way the Bible directs us to evangelism, even with such a good purpose as evangelism, I don't think it is right to take a Bible verse out of context. We don't need to do that. And it sets the stage then, well, if we can do it with this verse for a good cause, we can do it with any verse for a good cause. Let's look at the context around Revelation 3:20. So Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are dealing with the seven churches. Won't take time in this episode to go through all seven churches and read the entire passage. It's well known, I think, by most people. You can turn there and follow along and even pause this episode right now. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 and read through them before continuing on. Or listen to this episode, go back and read them and then listen again. But I won't take time in this episode to read chapters 2 and 3. There are seven churches mentioned in these two chapters: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. Each one of them, the Lord addresses with positive and negative. Well, not all of them have negatives, and there's one that doesn't have any positive, but he addresses them, and it's more or less, it's a call to repentance is what's taking place in this passage. So, see, I stand at the door and knock. Now, it's interesting, in the Greek, there are different ways of referring to the word knock. There's different Greek words for knock. There's kind of one English word, unless we'd use the word pounding on the door, which is the other Greek word. So, that's a typical knocking on the door. That's the word that's used here. It's just a knocking at the door that we generally hear. It is not that. So it's conveying a message even in the word that it's used there. It's invite me in. I'm at the door waiting. I am standing. Even the word that is used there, standing, the verb that is used there, the tense that it's in, is telling us that he is demonstrating or illustrating that he is standing there in a continual condition, knocking over and over again to be invited in. Now, I know there's lots of people have made the observation that there seems to be no door handle. It's not visible, actually. If there is one, there's no door handle. It can only be opened from the inside, and there's so much that is centered around more the painting as an evangelistic outreach than the accuracy of what the text, that verse is actually dealing with. So, I want to read the paragraph that this is found in. Now realize, this paragraph is the end of the discourse to the seven churches. It begins in chapter 2, verse 1, flows all the way through to verse 22 of chapter 3. So, the last paragraph is the culmination, the summation, the conclusion of the chastising, in a sense, and the commendation to a couple of the church, two of the churches, that Jesus is addressing or sharing with these churches. So in Ephesus, we'll just use a one-word theme overall depicting what the church is. It is referred to as the loveless church, the church at Ephesus. Now he gives both a condemnation and a commendation. It's a positive and a negative to Ephesus. There are some good things. However, I have these things against you. That's the loveless church. Smyrna comes up next. Now, Smyrna is one of two that is nothing but positive, and this is the persecuted church. Then the third one, and that's in chapter 2, is the church at Pergamos. Again, this is a church that has positive observations and negatives, and the overall condemnation is here is basically, you're the compromising church. Then Thyatira, that is positive and negative, and that is a church that is corrupt. Sardis is nothing but negative, and it's chastised for being a dead church. And then there's the church at Philadelphia. This is one of two. Smyrna and Philadelphia are the two churches of the seven who are given nothing but positives. And it is referred to as the faithful. So the faithful church in Philadelphia and the persecuted church in Smyrna have nothing but positive. They are commended. There's no condemnation that is given of them. Then the last church is the church at Laodicea. And they're nothing but negative. So we have two negative, two positive, and there are three that are given both positive and negative. And you can read through those, chapter 2, chapter 3. At the beginning of each one is this statement: to the angel of the church, and then the church at Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Smyrna, to the angel of the church of Pergamos, going down through each one. So seven times this phrase is used. To the angel of, and I'm sharing all this because this has a lot to do with, see, I stand at the door and knock. Nowhere in these two chapters is there an evangelistic theme or presentation. It's just not there. It's not like we see in other epistles and in the Gospels where we see a gospel invitation that's so clear. It's not here in chapter 2 or chapter 3. It's all of these churches, these seven churches, being addressed for their positives and their negatives. And Jesus is speaking to the angel of the church to deliver the message to the church. Now, the word angel is angelos in the Greek, and it at its root meaning, it is the messenger, the one who delivers the message. So don't think of the word angel here as we so typically do, particularly in our culture today, an angel with wings, you know, that kind of thing, an angel from heaven, however you want to think of that. That's not it. It's the angel, it's the messenger of the church, the one who has the responsibility of delivering the message to the church in this location. That's the idea. Not an angelic being, but the messenger to the church. He wants this messenger to deliver these messages to these individual churches. Seven times. Okay? So, also, couple of other key things here to point out. The word rebuke is mentioned here in chapter 3, verse 19. This is a rebuking, a chastening, other than for Smyrna and Philadelphia, who the faithful and persecuted, who have nothing but positives. But overall, it's a warning. It's a rebuke. It's not an evangelistic appeal. It's a rebuke to these churches. Also, in these two chapters, the word repent, it occurs seven different times in chapters 2 and 3, the word repent is mentioned, okay? and then five times either the word or the very clear connotation of being restored is mentioned five times. So rebuke is mentioned, repent is mentioned seven times, and restore, or the clear connotation of restore, being restored to relationship, is mentioned five times. All of those things are keys to understanding what the conclusion is and what verse 20 is referring to. So I have here in front of me right now verses 19, the last section here, 19 to 22 in chapter 3, without the verse numbers. This is another prime example of where verse numbers chop up and isolate verses. It chops up the flow. It breaks up the context. It removes verses. It invites us to lift a verse out of the context and apply it somewhere else. And I don't think that's good Bible study. I don't think that's rightly dividing God's word. Like I said, there are enough evangelistic examples in Scripture and invitations that we don't need to take a verse like this and force it into a meaning that is not contextually accurate, regardless of how sincere our motives may be. There are all kinds of other passages in the New Testament that we can turn to for an evangelistic outreach. And even in the Old Testament, didn't Philip use Isaiah in an evangelistic outreach? Okay, so I want to read these verses, 19 to 22, without the verse numbers there. I realize if you're listening podcast, you can't see that, but you could look in your Bible when you have a chance. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. That's the churches whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He's speaking to these churches, not the lost world. That's not the focus here. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Repent of your sin, these sinful ways that he mentions in these churches. In a number of these churches, he points out the negatives. Repent of those things. He says at the end of each one, he who has an ear to hear, listen to what I'm saying. So be zealous and repent. See, or behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. There's your answer. There's the answer to whether this verse applies in this broad evangelistic outreach, or is it specifically intended as being addressed to the churches who have, in many ways, fallen into sinful ways and practices, and that shuts him out, and he wants back into a right fellowship, and he is standing there patiently knocking on the doors of these churches. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. This is what he's addressing. Now, the next slide on my screen here, and I realize that, again, those on podcast can't see that, and you may be on a small device, and it may be difficult to see this, but I've reinserted the verse numbers, and we can see that verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be zealous and repent. And then verse 20, that's a terrible place to break a flow of thought. It divides it. It's just the way that we see things in our culture. Those verse numbers are sectionalizing passage of Scripture where it should not be divided. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, this is the door to the churches, just as we see revealed in verse 22, and even in the flow of the context of the entire passage of chapters 2 and 3. So, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In its context, it's not referring to the door of a person's heart. And I am hard-pressed to think of any place in the New Testament where we're where we have the illustration in an evangelistic context where there is a door to our heart. We're told to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, but nowhere do we have this kind of an illustration of having a door to my heart. Now, again, I am all for evangelism. I want to see people come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and be born again. The Bible tells us in 1 John that these things were written that we might know that we have eternal life. But Revelation 3:20 is not dealing with evangelism. It's dealing with repentance and being restored. If anyone in a church setting, if you hear the Lord knocking on the door to rise up and invite him back in and get that church moving in the direction of being restored back into right fellowship, that's what this is referring to. Well, I hope that helps you understand this passage accurately in context. It might be something new to you, as I know even in the last couple of weeks, the last month or so, I've heard this used in an evangelistic setting. And again, I'm all for evangelism, but that is not what this verse is referring to. So thank you for joining me on this episode of Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. You can contact me at rightlydividingtheword215@gmail.com. That's my email address. Like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Put your comments below, questions that you might want answered. I enjoy reading those and engaging with a number of you. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. Take care and God bless.